Today is November 8th, 2019, and we're visiting with Paul Schramm, and I think this is our 68th episode, Paul.
Very good.
We wanted to include you and hopefully Sue at some point because of your connections. A lot of times I just start out asking about your background as far as where you came from originally and your family and that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, I was born in Des Moines. My dad was teaching at Dowling, an all-boys school at that point. He always called it the poor Italian kids. And mom was from Dubuque and really wanted to get back to the Dubuque area.
What was her maiden name?
Voels, V-O-E-L-S. Yeah.
Okay.
And she wanted to get back to the Dubuque area. So dad applied and got a job at Xavier High School in Dyersville. And we moved from Des Moines to Dyersville when I was three.
Okay.
So I spent from 3 to 18 in Dyersville, going to Xavier Grade School and then Beckman.
And then, family, brothers, sisters?
Oldest brother, Mark, is a Divine Word priest. And then I have two younger sisters and three younger brothers.
Okay.
And they're spread all over the country. So yeah, we all grew up in Dyersville. And after high school, I went to Iowa State. Spent 5 years there. I was on the 4.5 year plan. Spent 5 years there. And Sue,
what year did you go?
I graduated from high school in 1970.
Okay.
So I was in Ames from 70 to 75. And Sue was a year behind me in high school. We first dated when I was a senior in high school, and she came to Iowa State also.
Okay.
And when she graduated, a few months after that, we got married. And got married on a Saturday, and I started my first day of Western Dubuque on the Monday after that.
That's
so
right.
No honeymoon to speak of. And
so you had graduated from Iowa State. You had some job possibilities, but you had connected up with Western
Dubuque. I had interviews at 3 or 4 different places, and then I got an interview at Western Dubuque, and Sue had not had a job yet either, and she was looking and looking, and it turns out that I got a job at Western Dubuque, and she got a job at EDCO about the same time.
Okay.
So it turned out that I got the job at Western Dubuque, and I was going to be teaching social studies, which was my background. My major's economics and certified most of social studies, but I was in engineering for a year and a half, so I had enough math classes to be able to be certified in math too. So my first job was to teach a freshman social studies class and general math.
So that year was
75-76, and I taught for 3 years there for the most part in the old Farley St. Joe's building, which was where the freshmen were.
Okay, a lot of history up there.
Yeah, and Sue taught at EDCO, so I drove from Edgewood every day.
Okay.
Which was 32 miles to Farley and 36 to Epworth. I remember that pretty distinctly, especially on a few of those snowy days.
Yeah.
When school didn't get called off till I pulled into Farley. Jane lived in Manchester. Jane and Eve and I were both equally unhappy that we had to drive that far and then turn around and drive back in the snow. But we got it done.
How about who were some of your colleagues at Farley?
At the first year? Oh, my gosh. Dan Elgin and I were social studies. Joe Copenhaver was math. Tom Danner had science. George Maurer was there in science, Dick Smith in math, Jane Deneve, Jerry Schmidt, Ron Dankert was phys ed,
okay.
Chuck Bailey was there sometimes.
Okay.
There was one other.
Was Brian the administrator then?
Brian Heidick was the administrator,
okay.
Yeah.
I see him every so often.
Yeah. Probably the most memorable part of that was the 45 to 50 minute lunch time, because all the freshmen were bussed over to Epworth for lunch.
Okay.
So we had a longer lunch than most people, and we had no students around.
So you had to bring your own lunch?
We brought our own lunches, yeah. We all did that for the most part, yeah. Yeah, and we had a good time during those 45 minutes, no doubt. We had a lot of fun together. It was a good crew. I taught in one of the two portables that were out on the...
To the west there?
On the west side, yeah. Yeah, and I can remember my dad was the audiovisual director at that time.
Right.
And when we needed to show a movie, he would come with the TV in the cart and in the van.
Okay.
And the big old reel-to-reel tape deck, and we'd help hook it up. We help lift it up into the room and hook it up. Because you had to go up the back steps to get in the portable. It was something else. But we survived all that, too.
So that was, how long were you there?
3 years, 75 to 78. There was 1 year, though. I taught 2 periods in the morning. It was a 6-period day back then. I taught 2 periods in the morning, general math, at Farley. Then I drove over to Epworth and taught, I think, 1 or 2 classes of... I think I had social studies there too. I can't remember for sure if social studies or I was starting to teach government by then. I can't remember. And then back to Farley for the last period of the day. And then in the winter when I was coaching, then I was back to Epworth for basketball practice. And then back to Edgewood to home. Those were crazy days.
Wow. Yeah. So you did some coaching then right away?
I coached seventh grade football, for 9 years. That was flag football. And 10th grade sophomore basketball for 10 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My first year of 7th grade football, first year teacher, 48 kids, one coach.
Oh my God.
it was pretty hectic. But we survived that too. Quite different than today.
Well, isn't it? I mean, it's incredibly different. So then that end of that third year, everything was moved back to
No, I don't think quite then yet, but I can't remember for sure.
I was trying to remember.
Joan Briggs retired, and she was teaching government pretty much full time. And I was able to come to Epworth full time and take that job. And then I taught government and then a little bit of economics. Dave DeLeary was teaching economics, but they had 2.5 history teachers, and so he went full-time history, and I got economics as well as most of the government.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then I was in on the north end of the building, that double-sized room.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a lot of history in it.
Yeah,
too.
That's where I taught for most of the years. I taught till they put the addition on the southwest side. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I remember that they used to use that. That was for the
wrestling room before that, yeah, before they added that on, yeah. Yeah. I can remember, too, every time Dan Elge, he was in the other half of that double room, and he liked to have the volume loud when he showed movies, and I think we could hear it better than he could. And the kids or I would bound on the curtain. There was one of those folding walls. We'd pound on that more often than anything else.
I was talking to, I did a session, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago with Paul Vossen.
Oh, at PV, yeah. He was the third history teacher.
Yeah.
It was part-time history, yeah.
And he said when he got going there, that was when they were still, finishing up the building.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had to teach, I think it was a social studies class on the gym. On the stage,
I believe. I wasn't there when they did that, but I know they talked about
that. He said, every so often a ball comes
physic? Yeah, wild physic was going on.
He said after a while the kids, they didn't think anything of it, they just threw the ball back.
Oh, geez, yes.
So anyway, okay, how about visiting with some of your colleagues that you worked with after you went back from Farley to Epworth? Memories of some of those teachers that you worked with?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, my gosh. Ron Dankert, I always remember Ron Dankert. You knew when he got to school in the morning because you could hear him singing all the way down the hallway. And usually it was, I can't remember, Yellow Rose of Texas or some crazy song like that. Man.
I ran into... Tom Becker in Dubuque.
Oh, Tom, yeah.
And he was taught, we're just visiting about the weather and not playing golf and all that stuff. And he said he plays at DeLeary once in a while.
I haven't seen Dave much lately.
I haven't either.
He's, I think his health is not the greatest.
Okay.
I know Rosie says he doesn't go out at night at all.
Okay.
I would say once I got back to Epworth after those 3 years, he was probably the person I spent the most time with.
Okay.
I looked at him sort of as a mentor because he was around much longer and just a wise, good, solid person.
Remarkable. You know, like you guys never sent anybody to the office on a
very
basis.
Seldom, yeah.
But I remember he would come in and he'd say, I do have this one student. He said, now, we'll see how it goes, but they may come up. So I told me ahead of time what might happen, but I don't think I remember anybody coming up.
No, I think for the most part, a whole department, we're pretty good at just working with students.
Yeah.
And yeah, if they were a little trouble, you'd go and stand right next to them as you talk.
Okay.
Or a few times I asked a student why they didn't think the rest of the class had the right to learn. And that usually shut them up pretty good, too, for the most part.
That's a good line.
Yeah. But no, not a whole lot of troubles that way. It was just a nice, solid crew over there. I mean, and Jane Deneve was such a good teacher in English, and Dick Smith in math. Well, Dick had his corny jokes and all that good stuff all the time. But I can remember a few times at lunch where before Dick would get in the room, like Chuck Bailey or somebody would pour a little bit of water on his chair. So when Dick came in and sat down, he would get all wet.
Oh,
and then the one time before Dick, we usually ate lunch in his room. So he'd go into the bathroom, and when he'd come back out, all the desk drawers were out and then back in upside down in his desk. Just different things like that. It was just so goofy.
That's good stuff.
But we had a lot of fun. We had a good time together. Danner was great. I mean, they're just all good people. I don't remember any particular stories outside of that, but...
So you kept
300 freshmen in that building that first year I was there.
Yeah, somehow we were able to squeeze them all into different classrooms.
When Aquin closed and Cascade High opened, that gradually shrunk the size of Western Dubuque High School. But even at that, you know, you think about lunchtime at Epworth before there was an added cafeteria space. It was just the one small part.
Yeah.
And, I mean, half the kids would go over to the Bobcat, and I'm sure a few of them smoked. But it was quite, quite different.
The way it was, somehow we got them all shuttled and squeezed around and got them through the classes. And we kept up the, it was sixth period day until... We started block scheduling, right?
I believe so, yeah.
And then we'd be like mid-90s.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that transition work?
Well, I thought it was great. I mean, as a social studies teacher, the 85-minute classes were a lot better than 60 or 55. Even though it was every other day, it seemed like you could get just as much done in 185 as you could in 255s.
Right.
I really thought so. And, it took a little time to adjust to how you taught or anything on that order, but I was really pleased with it. I know there were some disagreements as to whether we should do it when it happened,
sure.
But that's with anything. But I thought it was great. I just had such a good time going into a little bit more depth or just varying what you do during those 85 minutes. I thought the kids responded really well. And it was not nicest at first when every student took 8 classes for a day, and every teacher had 3 classes and a prep every day. And then it eventually got changed, and then a lot of teachers started teaching 7, and some teachers started having study halls, and then it wasn't as good, I don't think.
Sure.
But, I mean, that was obviously from a teacher's standpoint,
right.
Having that prep every day and being able to really develop things was pretty darn nice, and not having study halls. And then once we started having study halls again, and when Dick Smith retired, I went to half-time social studies and then the TAG program.
What year was that?
That would have been about 04, maybe.
So that was after the building addition. How did that transition go? Did you maintain the block schedule through the...
Block schedule? Still block when I retired in 2010, I remember a few of those years, I actually had 8 classes, if you want to call them that, but some of them were TAG, which was 3 or 4 kids. And I was flexible enough where I could do some other things because the kids were doing research projects. And you know, I'd check in with them all the time, but I didn't have to be actively teaching 85 minutes. So that worked out all right. But I know a lot of teachers, the day you taught four out of four, you had no prep. You know how long lunch break was. Bathroom check, the mail, 5 minutes to eat, and back to class. So teaching four that day, that was stressful for a lot of teachers. Yeah. And I think that's why they went, was that 4 or 5 years ago, they went to the trimester and the sixth period day. That's what they have now.
Yeah, I wasn't involved with it.
No, I wasn't either. But I think it's about 3 or 4 years ago they did that.
And I know that happened.
And a big part of that was because so many were teaching 7 out of 8 in the block, and that four out of four that day was just, it was tough. But the block overall, I was pleased with the block. I thought it was a really good way to teach, and I think it gave the kids time, instead of having that class every day, to have it every other day. It gave them time to do a little R&R from that, and preparation as far as that goes.
Yeah. I noticed it watching the World Series that one of our alums is employed by the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
Did you have Tom? And
Tom Davis
in the class.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I remember him in Schulpfeuer.
He wasn't a bad kid. He wasn't the most serious student we've ever had.
Okay.
But I mean, that's true with a lot of kids.
He was sort of
You know, it is really interesting when you think about all those kids at 16, 17, 18 years old, and they weren't fully adults yet, if you want to put it that way. And then you see them successful.
Isn't that something?
10 or 20 or 30 years later, and not only that, but serious. You know, good at what they're doing and serious about what they're doing. People grow up. We all grow up at different times.
Yeah. I mean,
we know a few people our age that haven't grown up yet.
But I did a session with Tom Rowan.
Did you with Tom?
Recently.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's another one.
They were same class.
Yeah.
And so anyway,
Tom,
we were talking
swear,
about being in school, and he says I wasn't really a serious student.
He wasn't either.
And he said once he got into his business, he says, now I didn't hardly read anything in school. He says, I read constantly, but mainly business applied materials. And
yeah, sadly, when those kids are in high school, they didn't listen when we told them how important that is. But you know, again, they do grow up. I can't even count how many former students have said, I wish I would have tried harder in high school.
Oh yeah.
You know, but you can warn them and cajole them and the whole bit, but it doesn't always work that way.
So you guys remember when you built your house in Dyersville?
Yeah, outside of Dyersville, 1992. Mm-hmm.
And you lived there until?
2011, year after we retired. Yeah.
So then you made a decision to move to Austin.
We spent about a year seriously looking. Once we retired, seriously looking. My mom was in at Stonehill in Dubuque. I was kind of tired of mowing and trimming 5 or 6 hours a week out there. You know, we loved the place, but it just got to be too much that way. And like I said, we spent about a year looking. We looked in Dubuque and Asbury, Key West, Epworth, Farley, Piasta, I mean, all over the place. And almost everything we looked at was either way above our price range, or there was some pretty serious flaw in the design that we thought was a design. And we weren't in a huge hurry because we had a house, and it's not like we were going to get kicked out. We hadn't sold it yet or anything. And then we came across this one, and it worked. Yeah,
this had already been built.
Yeah, this was actually, this house was built by A.J. Spiegel for his daughter.
Okay.
The one, I don't know if it's Heather or not, because it's Heather Drive.
Could be.
I'm not sure, but she and her husband lived in Arizona, and he was a law enforcement person. And I don't know if she or A.J. wanted them to move back here, and they came back. They built this house. They came back. I think they spent about 3-4 months here and went back to Arizona.
Okay.
And AJ once told me that it was because his son-in-law couldn't couldn't carry a gun around here and really like doing that down there. And that, you know, I don't know if that's true or not, because that might just be AJ. But yeah, so they moved, and then there's another couple who now lives down at Leisure Lake that lived here for probably 5 or 6 years, and then they wanted to move where there was a lake.
Okay.
I don't know if Leisure Lake is a lake or not, but
they
were both from Minnesota, and they wanted to, you know, they had lived on a lake before they came here. And so it turned out that we were able to buy this house, and we've been real pleased.
Yeah.
The location's great. We like the home. I'm just close to Dubuque. It's close to a lot of the people we do things with. Instead of turn around from Dubuque and driving back outside of Dyersville at 10:30 or 11 at night, it's a lot easier to drive to Piazza.
Oh.
So we've been real pleased.
I've been involved with different directions in trying to get some improvements done on the intersections at Thunder Hills Road.
Yeah, you mentioned that the other night.
Cotton Springs Road. And at any rate, I think we're making some progress as far as contacting the right people. I really believe what happened, or why it hasn't happened, is the fact that this area doesn't have enough political connection to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Could very well be.
I can't say the other reason.
Mm-hmm. I'm more interested right now in the road between Cox Springs and Thunder Hills, though.
Well, that's
I can't remember what the name of that street is, but
Charity Road, you mean?
Yeah.
If that was open, then that would take the pressure up.
It would be big,
Putting the risk on.
Absolutely.
So maybe that'll still happen.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I hope so. I hope so.
Any other aspects of...
I could tell you a few other good...
Yeah, go ahead.
I think back to the first years with Buck as principal at Epworth.
Okay.
I can remember it was about probably 2 months into my teaching career, and I woke up with a stomach flu, just sicker than a dog. So I call Buck, and I say, I can't make it to school today. I have stomach flu. I need to sub. He says, where's your lesson plan book? I said, I have it here at home, because I was working on it. And he was not very happy with it. Not very happy with that at all, and understandably so. But, you know, first-year teacher, you're flying by the seat of your pants. You try to keep one day ahead. Yeah, that was not a good day. And then the other thing I can remember with Buck, I was coaching sophomore basketball, and Scott Harris was on my team. And Scott went up for a rebound and got undercut and came down on his elbow. And within about 10 seconds, that elbow was almost as big as an orange.
Wow.
And I stood up and I said to the ref, protect the players. And immediately he gave me a technical. And so afterwards, game's over, I walk out in the hallway, and there's Buck, and Buck starts reaming me up and down right there in the hallway. And I said, Buck, I said, and for me as a young teacher, you don't yell at the principal too much. I said, Buck, let's go to your office. So we walked down to the office, and I said to him, I said, Buck, I don't mind you yelling at me for technical, but I don't think I deserved it. But more so, I don't think you should be doing that out in the hallway.
For sure.
And he says, you're right, I agree.
Okay.
And I think I learned from that, and I think he did too. And I got along with him just fine for the most part. I did see him lift a couple of students up off the hallway floor, but under the locker. But
yeah, you know that
he was a good man.
That the physical aspect of it kind of disappeared. Pretty much when Buck left.
Well, that was definitely old school.
Oh,
I mean, my dad was the same way. My dad was the same way.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember John Freitager? Played basketball at Xavier. About a 6'3" guy.
Okay.
Nice guy. Really nice guy. His dad was pretty gruff. Lived actually. The farm was up past where we built that house outside of Dyersville. But
is his dad a veterinary or?
His brother.
Brother, okay.
Yeah,
that's the connection.
But John, my dad was coaching John, and John, I don't know, you remember Xavier, when they built the auditorium, the kind of a locker room downstairs.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he was going down the stairs, and Dad was behind him, and he said a bad word. My dad gave him a slap, and he says, I'm going to call your dad. And so my dad calls Freitager's dad, and the mom answers the phone. And says, Dad, Paul Schramm wants to talk to you. Paul Schramm Sr. once talking. He picks up Doc Freitager, or not Doc, Grandpa Freitager picks up the phone and says, "What the F do you want?" And my dad knew right away he wasn't going to get anywhere.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, in those days you could get away with, I mean, and not that it's the right thing.
Yeah. This is part of the culture at that time.
We probably all remember teachers when we were in grade school, slapping people with rulers and making you kneel on your hands and various things like that.
That was common stuff, pretty much.
Yeah.
In fact, I was involved with WIC. Late summer, we were making an effort to have the elementary school named in Geraldine McCarthy's honor. And so, we got a lot of support, had a petition going around, and kind of pushed it toward the board and the superintendent. And at any rate, for some reason, they're very nervous about doing anything like that, naming an edifice for somebody.
Sure.
But I remember that Rick Colpitz emailed WIC and said that everybody knew Geraldine, what she was like.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple people had said that they didn't want that named after her because she'd slapped him around or did something to him. I couldn't imagine Geraldine doing
that. No, I couldn't either.
Anybody.
Although they probably deserved it.
Well, sure. Yeah.
I can see the reluctance to do that because then pretty soon every building's going to have a name, but not necessarily. And she's a unique one.
Yeah, somebody that's devoted their lives to education in different ways.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I get to the point of time now when we start to get weather-wise delays. I used to think about. When school is called off and all of the different aspects of the fact that you had to make it up and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Those few times it was called off when I lived in Edgewood, called off early enough that it wasn't driving, I was pleased. Because that's a long drive when it's blowing and snowing. And then there were also times after basketball games when it would be snowing all the way home. And then I'd get in the car and drive through snowbanks to get to Edgewood. Sometimes I stayed in Dyersville with my parents because of the weather, but that was not fun either.
Yeah,
the other thing I was thinking about with basketball is with our facilities. I mean, there was the Farley gym when we had the building in Farley,
right.
But once we all moved to Epworth, all we had was one little gym.
Yeah.
The Epworth Elementary gym was not a gym.
And
then we were able to use the seminary for a number of years.
Yeah.
And two things about that, it was usually the freshmen and sophomores together, which was Gerber and myself, which was usually somewhere around 35 kids.
Yeah.
And then also that it was about 50 degrees in there, 45 degrees in there. They didn't run the heat all week, and that gym was freezing. You'd have to put some extra air in the ball so they bounced. But we worked it out. Bill was good to work with, too.
Yeah.
Have you interviewed him by any chance?
I have not at this point. Yeah. I want to.
You'd have some probably some pretty good stories between teaching and coaching, too. Yeah.
Yeah, Bill.
Good man. I don't know if his health is the greatest, but...
I know. I'm a good... one of my good friends, Jim McCoy, is his brother-in-law, so I keep track of Bill every so often with Jim. And, but... it was a lot of unique individuals that we worked with at the high school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bill was good to work with. Bill was fun. I'm remembering there was an industrial tech teacher who was there just one or two years, and I don't remember his name. But I remember being in the office once.
Horst Brewington?
No. I remember being in the office once, and he had one of those pink pass slips that you had written, and you signed it RAH. And he came into the office and he said, "I don't know if this pass is right. Who's this raw guy?" I don't know if you remember that or not, but I vividly remember. I can't remember the guy's name.
Back at that time.
It wasn't Lettner. It was another guy who came in
Bill
about
Davis.
With Lettner. No. I can't remember the guy's name. He was a blonde, okay. Blonde-haired, good-sized guy. I just don't remember his name. But I remember that vividly. It was this raw guy. Didn't know if that pass was legit. Oh, geez, there are some others, too. Like, you think about Jim Nelson, or you think about some of those.
Oh, you know what?
Some of those folks.
You mentioned Jim Nelson. I interviewed Rob Horner Wednesday night.
Uh-huh.
So we had a nice visit. I said, Rob, I do remember, I said, one night, it's a football game, you got hurt. You kind of got knocked silly. And they wound up taking it to the storage shed. Yeah, Rob says, I remember that. He said, I kind of came around, he says, and I looked up, and there was a guy standing over me. It was homecoming. This guy had on a pig costume. He said, it was that assistant band guy, Jim Nelson. He was part of the Epworth emergency squad, I think.
A pig costume?
Yeah, a pig costume.
Jesus. Oh, he was different. He was quite different. Yeah. No, but you didn't think overall the teachers, the staff, the administrators, we sure had a lot more good ones than not good ones. Like, so many good people.
So many. I mean, I just felt the kids were so lucky to have the staff that mm-hmm. we did, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's pretty much,
yeah.
you connect with kids every day, and
yep.
they
yep.
listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And they model a lot of their attitudes
oh, yeah.
and whatever
Absolutely.
After
Absolutely.
Those connections.
Yeah.
But we mentioned Jim Nelson. And I'll never forget one day, he was in the teacher's lounge. And somebody came in and said, they heard that Harold was supposed to...
I remember this.
to
evaluate him over it.
Evaluation. He said,
he went over to Farley to evaluate you. Oh, that was dumb. I'm supposed to be in Piazza. Something on that order. Oh, jeez. I think that was his last year there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah. No, it was a good crew. It was a really good crew of people. I mean, to think back to like Don Scheel and Lois Tyson and.
Yeah.
Cleet.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all good people and good, they're really good teachers overall.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just a lot of memories. And so anyway, I just, how about, you said the. You said you have your boys there in
yeah.
Madison?
Tim's in Madison. He's a dentist.
Okay.
He went to UNI and then up to Madison for grad school. And after 8 years of grad school, he quit. Got into dental school at Iowa. His professor at Madison wasn't a very nice person. And got into dental school at Iowa and finished that. And now he's in his third year of dentistry in Madison.
Is he in a group or...?
Yeah, he's in a business called First Choice Dental. I think there's... 12 offices in the Madison area.
Okay.
And he's in Sun Prairie. They live in Wanakee, but he's in Sun Prairie.
Okay.
And his wife, Jen, she's Jennifer Reif. She taught in Madison, and then she was an assistant principal at Cedar Rapids Prairie with 4 years of dental school. And now she's an at-home, stay-at-home mom, and she's got a photography business going.
Okay.
And Andy, the youngest one, is in Marion. He graduated from Iowa State and a master's there in... public administration, and he works through Kirkwood College for the Iowa Works program, and he runs a program that I think there's 9 community colleges right now involved in it that tries to provide assistance for people who are on assistance to finish school and get into the world of work.
Okay,
so cool. If they need temporary gas money, rent money, some food money, whatever. There are funds available, and they go to school, and as long as they're successful in school, they can get some kind of help to get through and get finished and then get off assistance so they can, you know, go into full-time work. And his wife, Rachel Neenan, she works for the Iowa Cancer Consortium down at Coralville.
Okay.
It's associated with the state and the University of Iowa, and they do research and outreach in terms of cancer in the state of Iowa.
Good.
And then our oldest one, Joe, is out in, lives in Oakland, California.
Good.
He went to Iowa State and then on to Caltech and got his PhD in material science. And he's working for a startup company that, although he can't tell us all the details of what they do, they're creating metal alloy powders that can be used in 3D printers to make parts. It's a real unique thing, yeah. And they're really doing well. They're expanding the number of employees, and they're making connections with companies in other parts of the country and in other countries. And then his wife Jane is a biology professor at University of Pacific, and she also does research on the elephant seals.
Okay.
So she's on the coast a lot, and she's originally from Russia. Came to the U.S. when she was about 7 or 8. Graduated from North Carolina, and then they met out at Caltech.
Wow, isn't that something to...
It is. It's pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing.
Well, listen, thanks so much, Paul.
Sure about it. This is something I should have done a long time ago. I'm glad
I could get together.
Yeah.